We discussed last time women's tendencies to go off on tangents. And there was once a couple that had an argument. Happens, you know. And the next day, the husband wants to make up. He calls his wife at work and says, "Why don't I come pick you up from work? We'll go out for ice cream. We'll talk and we'll try to clear the air, understand where you're coming from, where I'm coming from." She says, "Great idea." Okay, he picks her up. They go out for ice cream. They sit down. And he says, "Okay, how do you view what happened yesterday?" Silence. He looks at her, he says, "Didn't we agree that we're going out in order to clarify what happened yesterday? Don't you want to do that?" She says, "Yeah." So he says, "Well, then why don't you tell me how you view what happened yesterday?" Silence. He's getting frustrated. "I don't understand. If you want to clarify, how do you think we're going to get any clarity if you don't say anything?" "Okay." "Okay, what?" "Okay." The husband's frustrated. "What do you mean, okay?" "Well, what do you want me to say?" she says. He says, "I told you, I want you to say, how do you view what happened yesterday?" Silence. So he says, "You want me to talk first?" She says, "Okay." So he says, "Okay, the way I view it was, I said this and this. And then you said that and that, and I couldn't understand why you said that, so I said this, and then you said that, and I said this, and you said that, and I said this, and you said that, and I said this, and then and I realized I probably shouldn't have said what I said, and I apologize, I really didn't mean to hurt your feelings. How do you view what happened yesterday?" Silence. Okay, he's looking at her, he says, "You know, in order for marriage to work, we have to talk. If we have to talk, you have to tell me how you feel, you have to tell me how you view it, you have to tell me how you see it. Why don't you share it with me?" She says, "I have nothing to say. You're 100% right." He tells her, "I didn't want to hear I'm 100% right. I want to hear your end of the story. How do you view it?" Silence. He's looking at his ice cream cone and he wants to bop it on someone's head. And he's, okay. He sits in silence eating the ice cream cone. She eats her ice cream cone. They get up, they leave, they go back home. They're not talking too much. And as the way things go, things settle down. And a few weeks later, he calls her up to work. He says, "What do you say I pick you up and we go out for ice cream?" "Sure, great idea." Picks her up after work. They go out for ice cream. They sit down. "How was your day?" "Great." They start talking. They're talking back and forth. "How was the boss today?" "Fine." And how was that interview? And she's telling him and he's telling her. And after they're schmoozing for about 15-20 minutes, she says, "You remember we were talking here a few weeks ago?" He says, "Yeah." She says, "You know, it all started when you said this and I didn't think that was fair to say that." And suddenly she's telling him everything she's thinking. So he's listening and listening and listening. And after she finishes, he says, I hear, you know, I could have never understood that this was the way you viewed it because you didn't tell me." She says, "You're right." So he says, "Well, why?" She says, "Because you didn't want to know." So he looks at her, he says, "You know, I asked you how you viewed it." She says, "Okay." So he knows he doesn't want to go down that road again. So he's like, okay, doesn't say anything. But what's really behind this conversation? He approached the conversation the way men would. To you, all of you guys, you all understood the man 100%. And if you've had a girlfriend, you also understand the scenario 100%. What's really behind this conversation? In her mind, if you wanted to talk to me, so you would have first asked me, how was my day? You would have first started the way women talk, with tangents, with small talk. Often if couples are thinking, we have to call a neighbor to find out if their apartment's available for Shabbos, if we could borrow their apartment. So you'll hear couples saying, better you call, the wife will tell the husband. Because if I call, it'll have to be a 20-minute conversation. Why is it that if the wife calls, it has to be a 20-minute conversation? Because between women, if you just call up and say, "Hi, Sarah, is your apartment available for Shabbos? Thank you very much. Have a nice day." That's rude. Between men, that's perfect. No problem. Hi, how are you? Good? Great. Are you guys going to be around Shabbos? Yes? No? Okay, thank you. Is the apartment available? Good. Thank you. Have a nice day. Right? Between men, that goes perfect. Between women, no way. So when you approach a conversation with a woman like a man, so in her mind, you didn't want to talk to me. If you want to talk to me, you first express you're connected to me. How do you express you're connected to me? Hi, how are you? How was your day? How was it at work? How was it with the boss? But I have a point to get to. Us men, we're very focused on the point, right? We have a point to get to. No. In her mind, if you want to get to the point, you got to talk to me first. And if you think about it, without going into too many details, this applies to many things. This difference between men and women. That men are very quick to the point. And women want more around the bush first. Let's talk, let's connect, and we'll still get to the point. There's time. That's not the first thing on the agenda. And if you try to talk to her your way, so you will find yourself with the same response. Now, if we understand where it's coming from, then it's less aggravating. We're different men and women, and if you want to talk to your wives, then you have to know how to talk to them. God also begins with small talk. When God has something to talk to Adam about, he begins by saying, Ayeka, where are you, Adam? God knows where Adam is, but God begins with small talk. When God tells Moshe in last week's parasha, go teach the Jews Torah, what does God tell him? He begins by saying, Ko tomar libeit Yaakov. Here's what I want you, lomar, to say gently to the house of Yaakov. Go to the house, go to the women, talk to them gently, softly, sweetly, get them connected to the Torah. Then, v'tagid livnei Israel, go be tough with those men, you get straight to the point, you tell them what they gotta do, tough as nails. But first, talk gently to the women. If you think about it, there's so much strength and so much impact that a woman has on a husband's life. The woman runs the house much more than the man. There are many couples where the wife keeps Torah and mitzvot and the husband doesn't. The whole house is a kosher house. Because if the wife is keeping the Torah, if the wife is connected to the Torah, he could do whatever he wants, but if he tries taking a fleshik fork and putting it in his noodles and cottage cheese, he's not going to get away with it. It's not going to work. But if he decides to keep Torah and mitzvot and she's not interested, he's going to have a very, very hard time. The woman is called Akeres Habayis. Ikar Habayit. The main part of the home is the woman. So much so that the woman is sometimes called the Bayis. When the Torah describes that a Kohen has to bring a sacrifice for himself and his wife and his family, the Torah describes it as V'chiper Ba'ado, for himself, Uvad Beiso, in the house. Beiso, the house, is his wife, his kids, they're the house. He's one entity, they're another entity. He works out of the house, she is the house, she and the kids. They are Ikar Habayit. There's a discussion in the Jerusalem Talmud whether B'nai Beiso includes the wife. Because maybe the wife is not B'nai Beiso, the children of the house, but rather she is the house, she is the bias. Maybe she's not included in the words B'nai Beiso in a Mishnah. So, we have to realize that she is going to put in most of the work in the house. You know, as much as a husband thinks he's helping out, she's running the house, she's doing everything. And if she's bringing up your kids well, be happy. Like the Gemara says, Dayenu. It's enough that we live as husband and wife, Shematzilot otanu min achet, umgadelt et banenu letorah. They're raising our children well. Believe me, it's enough. I can tell you a personal story. I didn't appreciate this enough until my wife was hospitalized. And then I had theories. I was sure I can make everything work. So, get up early in the morning, go to daven, come back home, get the kids dressed, everyone's ready, they got to get the gun. So I put breakfast on the table, ask them what they want, they get exactly what they want. I tell them, guys, time right now is 7:45, 8 o'clock, we're out of the house. You want to eat? Eat. You don't want to eat? Don't eat. Whatever you want. No fights. No fights. That was my theory. It was a good theory. It worked. They ate breakfast, no problems. My wife had fights before she went to the hospital. I had no fights. No fights. I said, you don't want to eat? Don't eat. You don't have to eat. Not fighting. You guys, whoever wants, can eat whatever they want. You want to eat? You eat. You don't want to eat. You don't eat? 8 o'clock, we're out of the house. However you want. Sounds good, right? Okay. It worked. It worked. The kids were eating. The kids were eating. They were eating breakfast, lunch, supper. All the laundry was done. All the house was cleaned a few times a week. The kids were going to visit their mother in the hospital. Everything was working perfectly. Until one day, I'm cleaning the house, and I come out, and the same kids who are usually playing cheerfully, happily in the living room are sitting in a corner under a table, quiet. Very well behaved. But suddenly, where's their soul? Where's the spark of life? So the theory is, yeah, they worked, yeah. The dishes were done, the laundry was done, the kids were in gun on time. Everything was perfect except for the kids. So the main thing was lost, right? The main thing, what's the main thing in the house? The kids, life. Everything else, everything around it, all the theories worked perfect. But the practical, what's really important in life, the spirit of the kids, that suddenly I saw I'm losing it. Wait a second. So all my theories, oh, theoretically it worked beautifully. Practically, it didn't work. Then I said, okay, reverse, wait a second, okay. How did my wife do this? Maybe there's a reason why she doesn't say, 8 o'clock, we're out of the house. You're ready, not, doesn't matter, you ate, you didn't. Maybe there's a reason why things work differently. The truth is that the main part of the wife's job is the kids in the house. And we sometimes lose that focus. We think, yeah, sure, she's bringing up the kids. But what's the big deal about having them in school on time and having A, B, C, D, E, F, G ready? A wife might tell you, I think the kids are getting things that are more important. The child is 4 years old. Do you think he's getting more from the ganenit or spending 45 minutes of quality time with their mother at home? If you talk to mothers, you'll suddenly hear that maybe it's not by mistake that the kid isn't getting to gan on time. Maybe the mother thinks, you know, the ganenet has 30 kids. How much attention is she giving the 30 kids? And the kids at home with me another 40 minutes. What do I care if he's coming late? He's getting more with me than he's going to get there. There's a lot that goes into bringing up the kids, and there's a lot that goes into running a home. And if we're smart, then we learn to appreciate what we have. And if we really appreciate what we have, then we start thinking, how can I make it work better for her? Meaning, when we first enter marriage, we enter marriage thinking, you know, this is a friendship. This is nice. I'm going to do what I can for her, and she's going to do what she can for me, and then it's going to work beautifully. We're two giving people, and we're two nice people, and it's legitimate that I have my needs and wants, and it's legitimate that she has her needs and wants. But if you reverse and say, wait a second, wait. She's killing herself doing so many things to make this work. I just have to focus on making it work better for her. Everything else is beautiful. Then everything else will be beautiful. The problems begin when we start saying, wait a second, I also deserve something. I'm also putting something, you know, I'm killing myself. I'm out there working all day. That's when the problems begin. So a smart husband stops and learns and thinks, wait a second, how can I make this work better for her? And if he's really thinking about how to make it work better for her, it will really be better for him. But that shouldn't be his focus. And that's why we're going to take a moment to think about how can we have conversations the way they want it, not just the way we want it. Because if it were up to us, it's like, I'm reading the newspaper now. What do you want? What does she want? She wants a husband. But I'm here. What do you mean? No, you're not. If you're not talking to me, if you're not connecting to me, then you're as good as gone. Oh, so you don't care if I'm home or not? So you want me to leave the house 45 minutes earlier to read the newspaper at work? No, that's not what she said. She said she wants you to put down the newspaper and talk to her. I have a friend who told me they don't bring newspapers into the house. So I understand many reasons why not to bring newspapers into the house. He told me a new reason why not, they don't bring a newspaper into the house. He said, I found that when there's a newspaper in the house, comes Friday night, I sit down and I read just one article, and then it might slip into another article. Isn't that a chutzpah? My wife's been working all week long. What right do I have to just sit down and read a newspaper? She's going to stand and do the dishes, she's going to clear the table, she's going to deal with the kids. I need a break. I didn't need a break before I had a newspaper. Then I was very happy talking to her while I was doing dishes, dealing with the kids. But if I have the newspaper, so it's nice to sit back and read a newspaper. But maybe she should have the newspaper. So they get one newspaper that she likes and he doesn't. With all kinds of Hasidic stories. They have this, Bells, I think, puts out some kind of newspaper for women with all kinds of Hasidic stories. So that's what they get in the house. There was once a couple that had to go to a wedding. And the chassan was the husband's best friend. So he tells his wife, you know, Wednesday night we have this wedding. I want to get there on time. The wedding's called for 6:15. Let's try to get there at 6. You know, I'm his good friend. I'm going to be a witness there. I have to be there and sign the ksuba. Let's try to get there at 6. Fine. They're talking a week earlier. So this is Wednesday, a week beforehand. Comes Thursday morning. 6 days left to the wedding. They're counting down. He's at work. She gives him a call. She says, Chaim, what do you want for supper tonight? He tells her, gee, I don't know, what do you want? She says, whatever you want, what would you like for supper tonight? He says, it really doesn't matter to me. Whatever you want to make is fine, I'm happy with it. She says, but what do you want? He says, doesn't matter. Well, what are the choices? So she says, well, I know you like the lasagna, I can make the lasagna. I know sometimes you like steak, I can make the steak. I know sometimes if you like the chicken, I can make the chicken. What do you want? He says, it really doesn't matter to me. What do you want? She says, no, what do you want? He says, okay, lasagna. Fine, okay. She makes the lasagna. Next day, Friday morning, she calls him up. She says, what house do you want me to get at the store? He says, what do you mean? She says, well, there are the square, there are the round, there are the sweet, there are the dry. Which do you want? So he says, what do you want? She says, no, what do you want? He says, okay, the square dry challahs. Fine. He's starting to think, she can't make decisions? fine. Friday night, Friday afternoon, they're getting ready for Shabbos. She says, tell me, Chaim, what dress should I wear? He tells her, you look good in everything, whatever you want. She says, yeah, but what do you want me to wear? He says, okay, the blue dress. Fine. She goes, put on the blue dress. What head covering should I wear? What do you mean? You only wear sheitels. Yeah, I know, but I have the long sheitel and the short sheitel and the one with the full. The long sheitel. Okay, fine, the long sheitel. Minute later, Chaim. Yeah, Esther. What necklace should I wear? He's thinking, okay, I didn't take a course in this. What wardrobe am I going to tell her to wear? He tells her, what necklaces do you have? She says, well, I have the one you gave me in this engagement, and the one you gave me in that engagement, and the one you gave me last week. Okay, the one I gave you last week. Great. 2 minutes later, Chaim. Yes, Esther? What earrings should I wear? the pearl earrings. Good. Okay. Chaim. Yes, Esther? What shoes should I wear? Esther, what shoes do you have? Well, there's the black and the blue and the one with the laces. The blue with the laces. Great. Okay. Esther, I got to go to shul. But 1 second, Chaim, just one more question. Yeah. When are you going to be back? I don't know. Whenever shul sends, I'm going to be back. What do you mean? Okay. Have a good davening. Bye. He's going off to shul muttering to himself, what does she want for my life? I got to decide the dress. That's true. Okay. Fine. Sunday morning, he gets a phone call. Chaim? Yes, Esther. What do you want for supper tonight? Esther, I really don't care. I come to work. They're going to fire me if I sit here talking. Do me a favor. Make whatever you want. All your food is delicious. Whatever you want. Okay. Fine. Wednesday morning. Chaim, I want to make a treat to take along with us to the wedding. Maybe we'll have a little date on the way. What do you want? Esther, look, I'm leaving work early to come home to go to the wedding. I really can't talk about it now. Do me a favor. Whatever you want, make. I can't. I gotta work. I have no idea. But what do you want, Chaim? Just one question. Okay, he gives her an answer. He comes home. Esther, we really got to leave for the wedding. Chaim, just tell me, what dress do you want me to wear? Chaim says, the blue dress. But you saw Shabbos. Don't you want something new? You're right, the black dress. Which black dress, Chaim? Chaim says, Esther, look, I've been asking you all week. I want to be there on time. Do me a favor, whatever dress you want, let's just go. But Chaim, what necklace do you want me to wear? Okay, you guys can picture the scene. The scene is getting steamed up. And what? Oh, wait. They get to the wedding hall. Chaim is gritting his teeth. Esther's in tears. Chaim goes there to sign the ksuba. And he's thankful that this is a separate seating wedding. And Esther's on her side of the mechitza, Chaim's on his side of the mechitza. Chaim goes over to his rabbi and says, I don't understand her. She can't make a single decision in life. Supper I have to decide. The dress I have to decide. The shoes I have to decide. The necklace, the earrings. I don't understand. Girls have no self-confidence. Why is it that I have to decide all of this? Pause. Esther goes over to the Rebbetzin on the other side of the Mechitza and says to her, I don't understand these men. What's wrong with him? I call him up to work and all I do is I say, what do you want for supper? I know what I have defrosted and what I don't. I know what ingredients I have and what I don't. I know what I can make easily and what will take a lot of work. But I don't care. All I care about is, what does he want? I want to make him happy. And he has the nerve to get upset at me for what? Because I didn't say what's easiest for me. Because I called him up and I said, Chaim, what do you want? Because all I want is to make him happy. And then comes Friday night. Friday night! I'm going to shul. All the women are going to see me. I come home, I go and get into my nightgown. How long does he see me in my dress for? 2 minutes? 5 minutes? But I didn't care about anyone else. I said, Chaim, what do you want me to wear? But no, he doesn't have patience for that. All I asked was, what do you want? I know which dress is more comfortable and less. And now I come to the wedding. All we had was the 10 minutes in the car and the 10 minutes back. And I'm going to spend 4 hours here with all my friends who haven't seen me in years. But I didn't care about that. I cared, what does he want? Good night.